The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can a homosexual obtain eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we get questions of all kinds from listeners all over the world. If you've got a question, I hope you'll send it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. I'd like to remind you, before we get to our discussion, about our National Bible Conference, a wonderful experience that many take part in every year. If you'd like to find out more about our National Bible Conference, I hope that you will go to our website, faithalone.org, and click on events. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. I hope you listened to last episode. I just appreciate being able to wrestle with these things with you. The Bible doesn't come with its own interpretation. If it did, that itself would need to be interpreted ad infinitum. What's
infinitum.
The Latin?
Infinitum.
Infinitum? Infinitum? No?
Yeah, okay.
Infinitum?
Well, it could be.
I'm not quite sure. Okay, let's see here. Here's a question from Joe. And Joe says, I'm a huge fan of yours. God bless you and your ministry for making the gospel message so clear. From a theological perspective, I currently hold to what is called an Acts 28 position. Joe goes on to say, kind of explain what that is, and he says he's moved from Virginia to Fort Worth. And here's his question. Knowing all this, that he's I guess you'd call it a hyper-dispensationalist, Acts 28 position.
That means he does not practice baptism or the Lord's Supper.
Right. And he says here he would take the Lord's Supper out of Christian liberty, but he wouldn't practice baptism. And here's his question. Would I be welcomed in your church? I understand that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that the nanosecond one believes in Jesus Christ for everlasting life, that person is saved forever and can never, no matter what, lose their salvation. So would someone, an Acts 28 person, be welcomed at a free grace church, maybe is the question.
And my answer would be yes, that this is not a hard question. As long as Joe is not going into the church to proselytize other people to his view, he would be warmly welcome in the assembly. He would be welcome to fellowship with us, etc. Just don't share your views on those divisive points. Instead, let's talk about the points we're in agreement on, which is most everything. I just recently wrote a blog on four levels of free grace theology.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this would be down in level three or four.
Right.
It's significant, but it's not so significant I would break fellowship with someone.
Because he agrees on the saving message here.
Right.
So this is a born-again person.
Right.
As opposed to, let's say, you can have like a Plymouth Brethren dispensationalist, graduate of Dallas Seminary, who's a hardcore work salvation person, and they
right.
agree with you on baptism and the Lord's Supper and the structure of the church, but they're like, salvation is by faith, that works.
Yeah, I'd break fellowship
that
with
that person. You
yeah.
cannot, you could not have fellowship with them.
Right.
But Joe, absolutely. But yeah, there's going to be kind of some interesting conversations about these other issues.
But let me give you an example, Joe, of where I think this can be dangerous. I have a friend. He's a Dallas Seminary graduate, and I've known him for many years. And he has become a pre-wrath rapture guy. Used to be called mid-trib rapture, but now they call it pre-wrath because they don't think it's exactly at the midpoint, but sometime around the two-thirds point. I don't know how they get it.
Okay.
But in any regard, he and I have gone round and round on this issue, and I finally got to the point where I said, we just have to agree to disagree and not talk about it anymore.
Right.
Because it was hindering our fellowship. And I think that's an important point. If Joe is going to go to a church that's an Acts 28 type, you know, hyper-dispensational church, okay, fine. He'll find a lot of people that agree with him. But if instead he comes to a Plymouth Brethren church or he comes to a dispensational Bible church that's not hyper-dispensational,
right.
that sees the church beginning in Acts chapter 2, well, then he needs to conform to their doctrine in the sense that he's not going around trying to convince his people of his unique views.
Right.
In the same way, if I went to his church, I would not try to promote the idea of the Lord's Supper and baptism as those ordinances which we should be doing today, because that's not part of the doctrine of their church. I'm going to respect their doctrinal statement.
you're not going to rattle the cages and try to cause trouble.
Right. And so in the same way, if Joe comes to a church that disagrees with him on these points, just leave those views behind while you're at church.
Right.
Don't go around trying to convince people of your views. Just share the joy of the fact that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We know that we have everlasting life and we're eternally secure. And we all delight in sharing the free gift of everlasting life with the unbeliever. So there's an awful lot we agree on.
Right.
Why focus on what we don't agree on?
Right. You can even be kind of a jerk on issues that you might agree with. Like maybe you believe in rewards.
Yeah.
Right? But you just emphasize it so much in every single message. Every talk has to be about rewards.
You're absolutely right. I've had people say things like that to me in the past, and I've had to reevaluate and say, do I really talk about rewards in every message, or do I really talk about the free gift of everlasting life in every message? Now, of course, having a brief mention of the free gift of eternal life is probably not a problem.
No, no.
But mentioning eternal rewards in every single message probably is a problem because it doesn't come up in every passage, and people could begin to think you hobby horse and are just trying to drive everything toward eternal rewards.
Right.
And the same thing could be true with your position on the Lord's Supper or baptism. If the text is talking about it, I'll talk about it. If it's not, I'm not going to be going there all the time.
Yeah. I mean, people can be troublemakers in all kinds of different ways.
And we could even agree, but I'd go, but wait a minute. I don't like the fact this person only talks about
that. Yeah, exactly. You'd be like, can we move on?
Let's teach the whole counsel of God's word. Yeah.
Well, anyways, Joe, I mean, listen, I hope you find a Free Grace Church if you've moved to Fort Worth.
There's a bunch on our church tracker list.
Yeah, check our church tracker, faithalone.org. Church tracker is one of our most used portions of our site, our website, which is always a surprise to me. But check it out. Okay, here's a question from James. He says he read an article by us on homosexuality and salvation. And he says, I totally agree that one does not need to overcome homosexuality in order to be saved. But what if one never overcomes homosexuality? And what if they don't even think it's a sin? Can they still be saved based on their confession of Christ? Jesus demanded repentance, a change of heart towards sin, in order to be saved.
Read that last part again.
He says, Jesus demanded repentance, a change of heart towards sin, in order to be saved.
Yeah, I'd say,
So, yeah.
No.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just stop there. So let's be clear, James, about what we... This might be the only article he's ever read by us. So
right.
Let's be clear that the reason why we say homosexuals can be saved, or people who practice that, is because there's only one condition to be saved, is to believe in Jesus. Right?
John 3:16.
To be persuaded that what he promises is true. You're persuaded that his promise of eternal salvation is true, and therefore you have eternal salvation. Anyone can believe that, and therefore anyone can have eternal life, and you don't need to deal with the sins in your life prior to believing. You can just believe.
Or even after the fact. In other words, what happens if a homosexual comes to faith and never stops practicing homosexuality? And my response would be, then what you have is a born-again person who has a major blind spot, a major area of sin in his or her life, and that person is, of course, going to be reaping the consequences of their lifestyle throughout their Christian life.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they lose everlasting life or prove they never had it in the first place.
It also doesn't mean they don't have other good works, by the way.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
They're probably, like all of us, we're doing good works in some areas. And then in other areas, you know, I get angry at my wife first. I say something I shouldn't, or I need to control my tongue more.
Now, it is true, however, in the vice list, homosexuals are listed as those who won't inherit the kingdom.
Right.
So in terms of ruling with Christ in the life to come, an unrepentant homosexual is not going to be chosen by Christ to rule. That'd be like 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, Galatians 5, 19-21, or Ephesians 5:5-7. That's different, though, than saying, are they laying up any treasure in heaven? Sure they could be.
Yeah.
But we might ask James the question, what if you had a person who was a very proud, arrogant person their entire Christian life? They come to faith in Christ. Maybe they even become a pastor. And maybe they pastor a huge church.
Mm.
But they're really a proud, arrogant person. and they die being a prideful, arrogant person.
Right.
Would we question their salvation? If not, why not? Because pride is the number one sin, right?
Oh, yeah. That's how Satan fell.
And what if they're jealous or envious? Or what if they're a person that's got a problem with anger?
Where's that vice list again? In Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 6.
You got fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous.
Yep.
Do you know how much covetousness is around right now?
Yep.
Drunkards, revilers, extortioners. So those are pretty serious sins.
But notice there's two references to homosexuals here in verse 9.
Yeah, homosexuals.
Nor homosexual nor sodomites. And the sodomites is another word for homosexuals. So two different references here to homosexuals in this vice list.
And I wonder, what do you think about this part here where James says, and I think we need to clear this up before we end the program.
Sure.
He says, Jesus demanded repentance and a change of heart towards sin in order to be saved.
All right, and the point would be that's incorrect. What Jesus demanded is that Israel had to repent in order for the kingdom to come. He never told a person, he who repents has everlasting life.
Right.
Or if you repent, you will have everlasting life. What he said is if the nation believed and repented, then the kingdom would come in the first century. Well, the nation didn't believe and repent, so the kingdom didn't come.
Right.
So it's incorrect to say that repentance is the condition of everlasting life. The condition of everlasting life is faith in Christ.
Right. However, believers should repent of their sins, such as the one James mentioned, so as not to reap all these bad consequences.
Right. If a believer is walking with the Lord in fellowship with him, then they confess their sins. But if a believer were a practicing homosexual, they'd be in the spiritual far country, and then they would need to repent of that sin, because the issue for them is not confessing it. Their issue is turning from it, because they're willfully walking in that lifestyle.
Well, James, we've got to go, but let me recommend a book for you, Turn and Live by Bob here. It's all about repentance, the power of repentance. That's the subtitle. And I think that'll give you a lot of things to think about the purpose and the role of repentance. Thanks for sending in your question. You know where to reach us, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, how do we know that the wrath to come in 1 Thessalonians 5 is really about the tribulation? We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.